So my birthday is next week, or by the time you're listening to this, this week, or maybe even last week. I don't know. So my question for you guys tonight. Can you hear me? Okay.
That's the question.
Yes.
No. What's the right answer?
So my question for you tonight, who would I invite to my birthday party? What fictional character would I invite to my birthday party? Two caveats. You cannot say Nightwing. You cannot say Spider-Man. And this is something I didn't tell you guys earlier because I thought about it when I was grabbing my beer. If you choose correctly, you can have your pick of anything in the candy pumpkin.
Ooh.
So, Lydia, you were the first person to say that, ooh, I've got it. So... Mm.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? We're going to invite BB-8, and he can light your birthday candles.
Oh, my goodness. Tabitha.
I'm going with Ted Lasso, because I feel like he would bring a lot of fun, and you would have so much joy in your heart.
He does have that dance. Matt.
So, I was going to say Ted Lasso, but since that option is taken, I do have a backup. I'm going to say Gwen Stacy, because if Gwen Stacy shows up, maybe... Spider-Man will also arrive.
Unfortunately, none of you get pumpkin candy. I mean, you still can, because like that's what it's here for.
That's not a special name.
But yeah, you get it. It would be unsanctioned pumpkin candy. I would bring the doctor. And we literally were just talking about the doctor off air. So like, I'm surprised none of you thought of that. Yeah. Of course, I would want somebody with a space and time machine to come to my birthday party, because then I could be like, hey, let's go somewhere for like 3 weeks, come back, boom, it's like 5 seconds later. Heck yeah.
Fair.
Two questions. First of all, which doctor? And second, you're scared of flying. Would you be scared of being in the TARDIS?
Second is a very valid question.
It's bumpy sometimes. Yeah.
I didn't know the doctor was a witch doctor.
How does that not get a shame?
Because she's vibing.
Yeah. Maybe that's just the name of this episode. I'm going to answer your second question first. I don't think that I would be scared of flying in the TARDIS for two reasons. One, even though, yes, it gets bumpy or whatever... it's got hundreds, thousands of years of experience at this point. Also, no windows.
So you can't see out.
I can't see outside. The first question, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question because I don't know how I'd be vibing that day. My heart says Matt Smith, because I feel like, even though he's got a punchable face, I feel like I feel like the 11th Doctor would be the biggest party animal.
It's because of the fez.
Because of the fez. Yeah. I mean, yeah, 11, granted, yeah, 11 had some darker moments, but I feel like everybody else, like... I would be in danger. Maybe 13. Maybe 13. But yeah, I'm going to go 11.
You're listening to The Geek Awakens with Mitch,
Matt,
Tabitha,
and Lydia.
All right, so I want to start off tonight. We're going to talk about C2E2 a little bit more. We're just a few weeks away. I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm just so pumped. I think I said that last week, but it's like even more so now. There have been quite a few announcements from C2E2 in the last couple of days. Recent guests include Hugh Dancy from Hannibal, Phil Dunster, and...
Sorry, I didn't know that.
That was announced today.
Kevin!
Phil Dunster and Christo Fernandez from Ted Lasso, which, like, when I saw that yesterday, I immediately messaged the group, and, like, I still, like, couldn't speak when I saw that. And also the team of Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, celebrating, get ready to feel old, celebrating 30 years of Clerks. I mean, we all feel old already.
Yeah.
We all talked about how we had to go number one before the show because our bladders don't work anymore. Some of the C2E2 exclusive Funko Pops have also dropped, including, now this first one, I'm not interested in because I'm not really a huge Iron Man fan, but this looks cool. Mm-hmm. This is a Tony Stark, like, mid-transformation into Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Poochie, which looks phenomenal. A Woody and Buzz Lightyear 2-pack. A bunch more. There's a bunch of anime ones. I'm hoping this is not all the ones that are going to be announced, but we'll see. That said, spots to get into the Funko shop have all been reserved. I was lucky enough. Unfortunately, not Seth was not. Also, in related news, 3-day tickets to the con are also completely sold out. So if you have not gotten a 3-day ticket yet, too bad. You'll just have to buy a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday ticket, and that's no fun. But what do you guys think about some of these recent announcements, or really just anything related to C2E2?
Well, I mean, I now know another autograph that we have to get for our cookbook that we're going to get signed this year.
Wait, is there a Hannibal cookbook?
There is, and we have it.
I don't know how I feel about a cookbook.
It's actually the cookbook from the TV show, which makes this even better. Also, having the 3-day passes sold out, we're going to be in a crowd of people, guys. I'm not excited.
Yeah, we're going to have to people a lot this weekend.
Yeah. Not this weekend.
Well, you know what I mean. That weekend. The weekend of C2E2. But yeah, like, I, like, looking at the guest list, like, yes, there are some comic creators that I was planning on getting autographs from, you know, maybe, like, try to get some selfies with, you know, whatever, whatever. But, like, of the quote-unquote, like, entertainment celebrities, honestly, wasn't planning on it. Because of the guests that have been announced, the ones that I was really interested in getting autograph, I already have. You know, I'm not going to get another one. Has your handwriting changed? No. But when they announced the two from Ted Lasso, I was like, okay, I'm dropping money now, and it's going to be a thing. Yeah, super, super excited about that.
I am stupidly excited about Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. I think I have seen everything but the newest Clerks movie and Tusk, as far as the stuff that, like, movie wise that Kevin Smith has done. I don't know him, like, Kevin Smith in particular. Like, you listen to him, his interviews, like, as a creator, and it's just, I don't know, he's one of those creatives that you just marvel at their brain on how things work and how he puts things together. So to get him, I don't know that I ever thought he would show up at C2E2.
Not Seth, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the pops that have dropped?
Sorry, I just want to talk about what Matt just said. I think he's been to Fan Expo Wizard Worlds at least once or twice.
Oh, okay.
And it's been, like, real big. Like, he's usually behind, like, a set of curtains in the signing area, and, like, the line is, I think, like, he spilled over into, like, multiple booths worth of lines. Like, they blocked it off because he was full signing nonstop. Yeah. Like, he's very popular. As for me and the Funko Pops, yeah, mainly it's just Poochie, but I'm excited to see what Funko's setup looks like because they usually do a pretty cool, like, theming of their area inside all the cons that they go to. So it's going to be nice that this is their first year to see what it looks like for Chicago, and maybe some exciting stuff will come from their panel that they have on Saturday. Whether I'll go to that panel remains to be seen, because it's like at 1:30 in the afternoon or something. It's during your window that you have booked, but I imagine people are going to line up for that starting as soon as the con floor opens. So Do I want to spend my whole day waiting in a line, or do I want to experience the con on a Saturday? Heads or tails, we'll see.
Is that Funko panel, is it on the main stage?
It's a good question.
They have, I mean, with these guests that they've lined up, like, there's a lot of big stuff on main stage this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Tabitha, do you have any C2E2 thoughts?
I am not surprised that Kevin Smith is showing up here, but I feel like it means good things for the future of C2E2, because, like Evan said, like, they close off the space, they put up the extra barriers, like, those, I don't want to say quality, but of guests don't really happen in C2E2. Like, traditionally, at least not in the last couple of years, that's usually, like, more of, like, a Wizard World thing when that was still a thing, like, those big celebrities. And I haven't seen them do that for anybody since Chris Evans a couple of years ago, like, block everything off like that. So
for Rosario Dawson.
That's right. That was the other one that we saw last year. So I think that means good things for the future of C2E2, and that makes me happy.
He is kind of King Nerd.
Yeah.
Really. When it all boils down.
It's not in the main stage.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that room is going to be real full.
Yeah. Looking at it.
Sorry.
Does somebody need to go to the command center? if I remember correctly, that room is one of the bigger rooms.
Okay.
But still, it's not on the main stage. So have fun. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and open up the pull list. What's on our pull list this week? We have three books to talk about tonight. The first book that we're going to talk about tonight is Viscera Objectica. It's out now from Silver Sprocket by Hugo Limbo. So a tailor finds a puppet named Theo at a farmer's market. The tailor falls in love with the puppet and explores the feelings that develop between a man and an object. This was an interesting story. I did like the art. And as far as the story goes, like, yes, seeing somebody, like, fall in love with an inanimate object, and while it wasn't graphic or anything, there were a couple of what I akin to as, like, love scenes. It was kind of weird. Not gonna lie. However, you know, reading it and then also after the story itself, the author kind of explains this a little bit more. And in doing so, I'm like, okay, well, at the end of the day, this person, this tailor, is not harming anybody. He's not harming anything. So you do you, you know? That's kind of how I...
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's kind of how I finished reading this. Tabitha, I feel very bad because I didn't know the background of this story before I said, hey, let's read it. And as we all know, Tabitha and puppets do not mix. So, thoughts?
Y'all, I love this.
What?
This was wonderful.
Color me surprised.
The art was great. The not even so much like the love bond, but just like this very lonely person finding anything to take joy in, and it just so happened to be this completely inanimate object. Despite the fact that I hate puppets, I was rooting for them, and like I was waiting for the end of this for someone to say something like mean. And I was like, I'm going to fight whoever says that about this man and his puppet. Because I did not read that section at the end because I did not want it explained to me. Because I wanted to take away, like, my own thoughts. And I did. I really liked this.
Lydia, I know you said you haven't finished it yet. But you've read, I think, a good chunk. So what are your thoughts so far?
I have mixed feelings. I don't know. I kind of like the overall, like, idea of it, but not going to lie, this made me very uncomfy, guys. Like, I'm happy for him, and I'm happy that he found happiness and love in some form of his life, and that he didn't have it ruined by mean people. But also not going to lie, when you said, you know, what you said, I had the thought of, well, basically kind of is, isn't he? So that's why I was laughing. I'm sorry. But fair. Overall, like, it wasn't bad. Just not quite my cup of tea.
Matt, what'd you think?
I understand the overall idea, and I did read a bunch of the stuff at the end, and that kind of helped, at least for me, explain the sentiment, because there are some things at the end where they talk about, like, falling in love with a place, and a place being essential to who you are, and that kind of love for an inanimate object, to me, does make some sense. A puppet does not make sense to me. I don't comprehend that. But on a grander scale, I did. I like the art. I thought that was well done. It fit well. Like I said, the overall idea I'm here for, I don't know that when it came down to that individual puppet, I also was a little uncomfortable, especially the scene where he makes the puppet talk. Yep, yeah. Thank you. For me, it had good and bad, but like I said, overall, the idea behind it, I get and I understand.
See, what you just said about, like, falling in love with a place and that, like, being a part of who you are, that makes more sense to me.
Right.
The puppet thing did not. But I digress.
Next up is Jill and the Killers, number 3, out now from Oni Press, written by Olivia Quatero Briggs, with art by Roberta Ingranata. So Jill, Ginger, Clyde, and Cher are close to figuring out what happened to O'Brien. But even if they find him alive, other factors may prevent the group from ever being whole again. Tabitha, what are your thoughts?
So I know I had some complaints about the first one and even a couple about the second one, but this one gave me what I was looking for when we originally started this series. It feels like with each issue, I'm either getting used to the way they talk on occasion or I'm adapting, which is probably the case. But I'm invested now and I desperately need more of this.
Matt, what about you?
So this third issue, there was something that we talked about recently where we read issue 1, it was like off the rails. Issue 2 kind of felt like it was a ramp up, like, you know, like part 2 of a trilogy. That's what this one felt like to me. It was more of like, instead of crucial things happening and like big reveals, this was like, okay, this is the issue we need to kind of push the story to like the final point, like the, because it's a 4-part as far as we can tell based on the emails we've gotten. But at the same time, like, I'm still enjoying it. I still want to know the answers. I will admit that the butting of heads between her and her dad has taken a little bit of a backseat, and I was hoping that there would be a little bit more of that, because I found that conflict interesting. So I don't know. This one, I still enjoyed it. I think I'm ready for the final issue to see how all the pieces fit together.
Yeah. I agree 100% with Tabitha. The first issue, I was like, okay, this is good. I'm going to keep going with it. The second issue, I was like, okay, wow, they really have stepped their game up. Now, with this third issue, I am completely invested. I, in equal parts, am ready for the final issue so that it can answer all the questions, but I also need this to go on for like another 20 issues. So it's like, ooh, I don't know. I am loving the interactions between the 4 characters. What's her name? Clyde is the one who has basically So, if you're not caught up right now, Jill and Ginger were kind of a thing before Jill had her thing with her mom. So, in that time, Ginger and Clyde have started to become a thing. Clyde's kind of like the annoying girl. She is written not to be completely unlikable, but like, I'm on Jill's side right here. Like, I'm annoyed by Clyde. And I have kind of figured it out, like, for me, and like, I started reading her with this voice. Clyde is the type of person who will fake a British accent. Tell me I'm wrong. But that said, there is one scene towards the end where Jill and Clyde are kind of having it out, and we see like a real genuine moment of Clyde, and I was here for it. I loved it all. Yeah, this story is just so good. It's really like suspenseful, you know, with a name like Jill and the Killers. It's not like overtly horror by any means, but it's very suspenseful, and I just like I want to see how this ends. Last book we're going to talk about is Sunflowers. It's another Silver Sprocket book. It's out now. It's by Jeezy Young. So Sunflowers is an autobiographical comic about one person's experience living with bipolar 1 disorder. Also, this is something that's really cool. In honor of World Bipolar Day, and also in an effort to make the book accessible to everyone, Sunflowers is available to read on Silver Sprocket's website for free. And that's the way that I understand it. It's not like a limited time thing. Like, that's just going to be how it is. You can also order the physical copy on the website as well. Matt, let's start with you this time.
The art in this is just absolutely amazing. This is another one of those books where you get to some of these pages and I want to take the page and frame it and put it on the wall, because it's just, I don't know, there's something about the art for this book that, like, I'm not that person that goes to an art museum and just falls in love with a painting and I'm like, this speaks to me. Some of these, like, pages and some of these panels, like, kind of did that. So, like bar none, like, I absolutely love the artwork for this. There's not really a story here because it's autobiographical. It's almost more of the author just kind of explaining the ups and downs and the back and forth that is bipolar 1 disorder. And I don't know, and they mention this in the book, that like most people can't really name any symptoms. I thought I kind of knew what bipolar disorder was. After reading this, what I thought I knew was completely wrong. So in that regard, it's very informative. And I really enjoyed that because it is, it's something that there's, as much as mental health has less of a stigma in today's society than it did even 10 years ago, there still is, especially when it comes to bipolar disorder. And this is very enlightening when it comes to explaining and teaching what these people deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, with it being, yeah, I mean, I guess, yes, it is technically autobiographical, but it's more in the sense of these are the, like, this is what, you know, the life of somebody who has this disease, and it kind of puts a human face on it. It's not really biographical in the sense of, like, still telling, like, a point A to point B story, mm-hmm. you know? That said, like, this was, you're absolutely right, Matt. It was very informative. It was very enlightening. I think that this is something that, you know, everybody should read. Yeah, like, the artwork was phenomenal. There were, like, quite a few pages that were, like, more on the wordy side, you know, like, so it's very unconventional in terms of a comic book or a graphic novel or what have you. But yeah, it was very well done. And just it really just kind of like, you know, made you think. And like, without giving too much away, there's a stretch where we're kind of like going into the depressive part. Mm-hmm. And it's like literally just like a few pages of blackness. Yep. And I don't want to say that I connected with that, but like I really like I felt that, and I was like, you know, that's genuinely like terrifying. Yeah. Tabitha, what'd you think?
The art was absolutely stunning. I like Matt, like there were a couple of pages where I was like, oh, I want to put that on the wall, but I needed like a poster board size. I think the comic book world makes things more accessible for people just in general, because comics are, you know, cheaper than a book. They are, you know, for the most part, you can find them at, you know, Walmart, Target, like your average everyday place. And I think for stories like this to be out there in that kind of accessibility is super important, especially with something like bipolar disorder, which is still so misunderstood by people. This was great.
All right, guys, let's go to Trailer Takedown.
Let's get ready for Trailer Takedown!
And we've only got two trailers to talk about this week. We have Strangers Chapter 1 versus Unfrosted. Two very different movies. Lydia, let's start with you.
So with the Strangers, as soon as they like walked into this little cabin, it's like, oh, I love it here. I'm like, this is going to end badly. Just immediately knew it was going to be bad. I noticed a lot of like typical horror tropes in this, but I'm still intrigued enough that I kind of want to sit down and see it. Unfrosted, I had no idea what I was getting into with this. And I don't know whether to laugh or cringe. Or both. But I also want to see it too, kind of. I'm so conflicted with all of this tonight, guys. But all in all, I'd probably sit down and watch Strangers quicker than I would Unfrosted, just because I cringe enough at my own awkwardness. I don't need to cringe at somebody else's. So I'm going to give Strangers 7 points, and I'm going to give Unfrosted 3.
I was uncomfy a little bit in the Strangers trailer, like especially towards the end with like the quote unquote bad guys, I guess, if you will. But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like based off of this trailer, like this would either be a really good horror movie or just really dumb, you know, and I don't know which way it's going. Unfrosted, on the other hand, is dumb on purpose, and I'm kind of here for it. This tells the story. I don't think it's the true story. It seemed very exaggerated, but tells the story of the creation of the Pop-Tart. And there are a bunch of comedians. It's directed by Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. So a bunch of comedians are starring in this movie. And just like, I don't know, this is going to be fun. When I kind of first heard about it, like I thought they would maybe be more informational. And I'm sure that there are aspects of this movie that are based off of the true creation of the Pop-Tart. However, I'm sure not all of them. Melissa McCarthy, like, she has dabbled in some more like serious roles and serious movies. That is not the case with this one. There was like the scene when she's like, they're like testing like the names of Pop-Tarts. And I wish they had written down like some of the names that she threw out there. But like, oh my God, it was just so funny.
And the kids come, is this a joke?
Yeah. So I'm giving Unfrosted 8 points. I am giving Strangers Chapter 1 2 points.
I do have one quick statement.
Yes.
Why does Melissa McCarthy always get stuck in the worst wig? Like, she is a pretty woman. Like, why does she always get stuck in those horrid ass wigs in all of these movies?
I think, again, with this movie not taking itself seriously at all, I'm sure that wig is intentional.
But you ever but have you ever right. noticed that, though? Like, pretty much all of the movies that she's in that she is intentionally being, like, slapstick comedy, she has the worst wig. Like, it's so bad. Anyway.
Tabitha.
Are you wearing grippy socks?
I am.
Okay.
So, these are the socks. These are socks that I got when I had my carpal tunnel surgery. And real, real high bitch asked if I could keep them. And they were like, yeah, sure, whatever, freak. And I did. And they're comfy.
Wasn't judging. I was making an observation. I love The Strangers. The Strangers is one of my favorite horror movies of all time because it is one of the most simple horror movies of all time.
So is this a remake?
It is not a remake. It is chapter one. It is the beginning of The Strangers.
Okay.
So that whole is Tamara home is how The Strangers starts. There's like a lot of little Easter eggs in there.
I assumed we were getting a Strangers chapter two next year.
No. This is the chapter one of the
It's a prequel, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's sequels after that, but they're all garbage. Don't watch them.
Okay.
Yeah, The Strangers and then Stop. I'm interested to see this because we all know I love a backstory. It does make me a little nervous based on the acting. Just in that trailer, there were a couple moments where I was like, okay, girl from Riverdale, what are you doing? But as far as the serial movie, whose name I can't think of, Uncrusted. I keep wanting to say Uncrusted, and I knew that was not right. And I was like, that's where I was going. I was like, what am I doing about Uncrusted? I don't know why, a plethora of knowledge about the Pop-Tart debacle, like, back in the day, and the run for the... Huh?
Did you say debacle?
I did.
Okay.
I can't breathe, so, like, I feel like I sound like a little old lady, and I'm nasally, and I can't hear myself.
Okay.
So I can't tell how loud I am, but I randomly know a lot about the Pop-Tart race, and the characters that they showed, like Jack LaLanne, was like a huge promoter, and they had this like celebrity competition. So it's going to be really interesting to be able to like feel like I'm watching that, no matter how stretched out in the comedy they have it. I'm very interested in both of them. I think I'm probably more likely to watch The Strangers chapter one. So I'm going to give that one 8, and I'll give the other one 2.
Matt.
So The Strangers is a horror movie series that I knew was out there. I've never seen any of them. This prequel thing that all of these horror movies seem to be doing right now, I don't really understand why. Like, we got The Quiet Place Day One, we've got The First Omen, and now we're getting Strangers Chapter One. Like, everybody's like, okay, we've gone forward, now we have to go and give the backstory. And I don't really know why that's the vibe right now, but apparently it is. I do have to agree with Tabitha that the acting looks a little sus, as the kids say. it's not fantastic, but you know, it's a horror movie, so is it really about the acting? No, it's about the jump scares. I don't know, it still looks interesting enough that it kind of is enough to make me really kind of want to go back and see at least the first of those other movies. Unfrosted, I remember hearing that they were doing a Pop-Tart movie a while back, and all I could think about was why. Like, what are you going to make a movie? Like, some of these things that they're like Battleship or, you know, Hungry Hungry Hippos or whatever, you know, all of these things, like, pop, they're going to make a Pop-Tart movie. Like, what the hell are you going to make a Pop-Tart movie about?
I was afraid they were going to make it about that football game.
Right? I'd also be down for that.
Of course you would.
The day, like, the last day of. this looks fantastic. This looks hilarious, but it also looks like it's going to have some of that real historical fact kind of like woven in. And yeah, like Oblong Nibbler. That was the best possible name that she rattled off during that focus session. Like, I really did start laughing at that. I I really want to see this. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 9 points for Unfrosted and 1 for Strangers.
I feel like the way that we like gave points says a lot about who we are.
True.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All right, so with a score of 22 to 18, Unfrosted wins Trailer Takedown. All right, guys, let's go into Gut Reaction.
Ow! Gut Reaction.
And we're going to start with Gut Reaction with something I don't even know what we're going to be talking about because Not Seth has some breaking news.
Do you guys like 30 Rock?
Yeah.
Do you guys like HGTV?
Yeah. Sure.
Sure.
Okay. That one wasn't as positive. Do you like judging other people?
Yes. Yes.
Then you're going to like this new show from HGTV starring Jack McBriar as he reviews Zillow Gone Wild.
I am stoked.
It premieres on May 3rd, so relatively soon. They just posted about this 2 hours ago as of this recording, so limited details. But it's based off the Twitter/Facebook account called Zillow Gone Wild. So if you need some inspiration on what might be covered, check that out. It's very fun. People live some weird lives behind closed doors. So yeah. Thumbs up for me.
Tabitha.
Giant thumbs up. This is judging people is my favorite thing. Zillow Gone Wild is also my favorite thing. Two very enthusiastic thumbs up.
Matt.
This sounds like a... This just sounds like a good idea. Yes, thumbs up.
Lydia.
I didn't know Zillow Gone Wild was a thing, and now I have to find it because, oh my gosh, this sounds amazing. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, give me this thumbs up. I've seen some crazy Zillow houses before, but I haven't actively followed any like Zillow Gone Wild pages. And Jack McBrayer is objectively hilarious. Yeah, this feels like it could have some like, do you guys remember Best Week Ever?
No.
Oh,
okay. Well, it feels like it could have like a vibe like that, but clearly none of you know what I'm talking about. So a little bit of local news. On May 23rd to 25th, the Inn at 8:35 will host an Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy event. For $45, participants will get to hear 4 Poe stories told through Poe historians. Each story will be accompanied by a themed cocktail. The speakeasy event is organized by Haunted Tavern. Springfield is one of the many stops on the tour. I'm going to give this a thumbs up. I was kind of weary at first when Not Seth showed it to us on Facebook. Because like it kind of gave Wonka's Adventure or whatever vibes. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to get suckered into this. But... looking at it, I mean, this looks genuine. I mean, A, it's at a spot that is reputable. And B, like, this is something that's a tour. So even with, like, the limited research that I've done, like, I feel like if something was shady, we would have heard about it already. So I still think $45 is maybe a little steep, but not really, especially if the cocktails are included. This still seems really fun, so thumbs up. Tabitha.
I can have Matt read me Poe while I drink a drink in our dark house with a candle lit for less than $45. I am still skeptical of this because I looked at the other ones that they've had and some of the pictures that people post, like, oh my god, had the best time. The background, it either doesn't look real or it looks real bad. Like someone just like wrote like Poe on a bed sheet and strung it up in the air. Like I'm still withholding my excitement, but I'm not going to this for $45.
Matt.
I have mixed feelings. Mixed drinks. Oh, I don't have mixed drinks. I just have beer. Mixed feelings. I don't know. This could be cool. I feel like the cocktails that would go with each story would probably be fun as far as theme goes. I'd probably rather just read Poe. I don't know. I'm going to go thumb sideways, but I honestly don't think $45 for like Poe tidbits, like historical fact to go with reading of stories and four drinks is like unreasonable.
Lydia.
Yeah, I'm with Tabitha. Like, I feel like I could just like put some candles on, put some candles on, light some candles. That's not how that works.
What are you going to put them on?
Preferably things that are not flammable. And just have like Kevin read me some Poe and make my own drinks and not have to spend $45. And I'm also skeptical that it's actually going to be anything that is of quality and not like Ovaldi's Wonderland type thing. So I'm going to go thumb sideways because I like the idea. I'm just terrified of the execution.
Aren't we all?
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Matt, let's go into the Matrix.
So it has been a long time since we visited the Matrix. But it looks like we are going to be getting a new Matrix film. The fifth Matrix movie from Warner Brothers was announced. The Martian and Cabin in the Woods, Drew Goddard is going to write and direct. It is Lana Wachowski is going to executive produce. So it will be the first Matrix installment not to have Lana or Lily Wachowski directing. Like I said, it just announced, no real details on plot or where this is going to pick up or how it's going to relate to the other films. But we're, I don't know, here in the next couple of years, we're gonna plug back in. I don't know if we need this. The first one was so good. The second two were meh. I don't even know what the fourth one is that they're referring to. So, I don't know. Until we get some more plot details and see where this fits into this Matrix universe, I'm going to go thumb sideways.
Lydia.
So probably unsurprising to all of you, but I've never seen a Matrix movie. So I'm indifferent. So thumb sideways?
Yeah. Yeah, that fourth Matrix movie, it came out, what, a few years ago?
I have no idea.
No, I mean, I got Matrix.
It was like Matrix
Reloaded.
Revolutions?
Oh. No, those were the trilogy.
That was
the
their trilogy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Unless they're counting as the Animatrix as a film, but that was just like a series of short films.
No, there was the Matrix Resurrections. It was came out in 2021.
I missed that one.
I forgot that they even did that.
I mean, we probably talked about it on an earlier episode. Not going to tell you which one. You got to go listen to them all.
You're going to be there a while.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right, because they recast Neo. It wasn't Lawrence Fishburne. Wow. Thanks, brain. Why that is in my head, I don't know.
So, Keanu Reeves isn't Neo? Like Lydia, I also have not seen The Matrix, but I always thought that Keanu Reeves was Neo.
I mean, he is Neo.
But didn't you just say they recast Neo, and then you said Lawrence Fishburne?
Sorry, not Neo.
Okay.
Whoever Lawrence Fishburne's character was.
Okay.
In the original trilogy.
Your brain will spit that out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Either which way.
I just remember that being like a sticking point. When that one was released.
Either which way, I'm giving this a thumb sideways.
Morpheus.
Thank you.
Yeah. If this was something that you were going to be excited, Matt, I would have given you a thumbs up just for your enjoyment. But since you don't really care, I definitely don't care. Thumb sideways. Tabitha.
The first three Matrix movies are some of my favorite background movies to watch. The change in directorship freaks me out. Don't like that. Don't like the lack of involvement there. So I'm going to give this a huge thumb sideways. I thought I was really funny. That was a laugh.
Yeah.
From outdoors.
Do you live next to an evil witch?
Maybe. Tabitha, let's talk about an A, B, C book.
So Beyonce is releasing an alphabet book, and you can actually pre-order it now. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. The book collection is a fan-made book that features pictures of Beyonce in representation of each of the alphabetical letters. It's the Beyonce Legends alphabet book. It's out April 30th, but you can pre-order it, like I said. It looks to be just your typical, like, kids book on teaching you the alphabet. This is cute. I know we've talked about it before. Beyonce is not my favorite human, but I appreciate any book that tries to teach children stuff. And if we're going to have to use a relatable character like Beyonce, like a popular character, thumbs up.
Matt.
Yeah, I feel like as popular as she is, that, yeah, it would be a good connection point for kids to, like, see her and make that connection and help help with the learning. So in that regard, thumbs up. Do we need another alphabet book? Probably not. But, you know, again, anything that is beneficial in that in like the learning regard, thumbs up.
Lydia.
Yeah. Anything that, like, teaches kids things is great. I'm not entirely sure I'm behind this because I'm curious, like, how is she representing the different letters?
It's just like pieces of her career. So, like, A could be, I don't know, Austin, Texas. I don't know. That's probably not where she's from. And then, like, B would be, like, for Beyonce. So it's just, like, there's a Taylor Swift one. There's I think there's, like, a pop stars. There's a rock and roll one that we were just looking at. They just explain, like, different little sections. So, like, C for country music. She just came out with a country album.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's a good thing, and since she is so popular, I'm sure it'll get people's attention. Although I feel like the kids that need these to learn from don't have a clue or care who Beyonce is, but, you know. So, thumbs up for the overall idea of it.
I'm giving this a thumbs up. I feel like there are two target markets. There's kids to learn their ABCs. There's also Beyonce fans that would just buy these.
Yeah.
Also, if Jay is not for Jolene, then there's some issues.
If Jay is going to be for Jay-Z.
Yeah.
True. But she did, if you don't know, she did a version of Jolene on her Cowboy Carter album, and it is fire. Ah, chef's kiss.
Don't say it.
Say it.
Nope.
Say it.
Nope. Moving on.
Matt has learned some of the lingo of the youths.
Ooh. I'll cut it out. I promise.
What, cringe?
No. Oh, never mind. It's not funny anymore.
Apparently I was thinking of the wrong...
He said fire.
Oh. Pookie's outfit is fire.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No.
Oh my god. There's this TikTok account. It's a husband and a wife. And she's doing, like, her outfit of the day kind of thing. But the way that every video starts is he's like, Snow Princess Pookie is looking absolutely fire in this outfit. And where's your outfit from, babe? And they are, like, famous celebrities are, like, mocking them and doing, like, cuts of it. It's just really funny. So I said it to Matt one day, but he was like, isn't that girl from Jersey Shore? And I was like, that's Snooki. So I sent him a bunch of them, and then I made him watch a bunch of them. And then I'm going into the yard to do yard work in leggings that are not all the way there. Socks, sandals, a holy t-shirt, a hat, and no bra. And he looks at me and goes, Pookie is looking absolutely fire. I almost divorced him in the yard.
Matt, you're my hero for that. Not gonna lie.
I thought it was well placed, but, you know.
That's amazing. It's true love right there.
So, Paramount Plus has officially announced a new Star Trek series. Star Trek Starfleet Academy will follow an all-new class of cadets. In a quote-unquote recruitment announcement, it's revealed that this will be the first time in more than a century that the Academy has been opened. So this suggests that this will be a spinoff of Discovery. Production on the series will begin this year, but it could be even 2026 before it hits Paramount Plus. I'm giving this a thumbs up. As much as I would want this closer to like the TNG, Deep Space Nine, Voyager timeline to get maybe some of those characters to come in and like guest star or be, you know, professors at Starfleet Academy. I'm still, even though I'm like a season behind on Discovery, I still really enjoy it. I've always loved the idea of, you know, something set in Starfleet Academy. Back in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, there was a Starfleet Academy comic book that I adored. In fact, even like in the last few years, I found all of them like at cons or whatever. So that excites me. Anyway, all that to say, I'm still here for this. Thumbs up. Tabitha.
I desperately need to get caught up on all the new Star Trek series. Like, I have not watched any of them except Lower Decks. I'm giving this a thumbs up. Like, the more Star Trek we can get in the universe, I think the better. And I love the beginning of a story, so.
Matt.
Most of me wants to go thumbs up for this, but I am a little concerned because, okay, well, back up. Anytime we can get more Star Trek and expand this universe, I think is a good thing. The way that they've been able to do that over the last 10 years or so, I think has been great. They've done a wonderful job with that, despite the fact that, like Tabitha said, I'm so far behind on all of these other shows apart from Lower Decks. I still want to watch those. My only fear is that being Starfleet Academy, and in order to pull in a different viewing demographic, they might make this teen drama, and that concerns me, and that's not Star Trek. Right?
Oh my god! Yes! Even if that's not what this is, Evan, I need you to work on the script for Space Degrassi.
Would Drake be in like a flying wheelchair?
Obviously.
That's like the one thing about Degrassi I know.
Yeah. I know everything about Degrassi.
So as long as that doesn't happen, I would go thumbs up. But otherwise, until we get a little bit more concrete.
Isn't
the
sequel to Degrassi, Degrassi the Next Generation?
Yes.
Yeah. Degrassi Deep Space Nine.
It's Deep Space Ninth Grade.
Oh, just inside the simulation lab. The clues were there.
Wonder if they're going to use for the ravine. If they're in space.
Lydia.
Thumbs up for Star Trek Degrassi.
Matt, let's talk about Marvel Rivals. That's weird to say.
Well, they are. So last week it was Battle Royale. This week it is a free-to-play 6v6 team-based shooter starring Marvel heroes. It's going to have Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Groot, Hulk, Iron Man, Loki, Magneto, Mantis, Namor, Rocket, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, Storm, Star-Lord, and Punisher, amongst others. It's going to be very much like Overwatch in the fact that there will be seasons. You will be able to unlock new content and evolve your characters throughout the season. It is going to be free to play, but at this point, the only thing we really know is that the closed alpha test is supposed to hit somewhere in May. I don't know. Marvel video games have typically not done well. I worry about some of those that are in the free to play genre because they tend to just be a little more subpar than the ones that you pay money for. There is an announcement trailer, and I did not watch it yet. I've gone thumb sideways on a lot of things so far tonight already, but I'm going to go thumbs up in hopes that this actually works out and plays well.
Lydia.
Yeah, Marvel doesn't have the greatest track record with video games. I think Spider-Man's about the only one that has gone anywhere. Being free to play also means that there is a humongous possibility that this is going to be littered with microtransactions, which always is terrifying with games like these, because you know there's going to be the people out there that are just going to spend the money so that they can beat people and not actually put the work in. So for those two reasons, I'm going to go thumb sideways, because I feel like there's a lot that could go wrong.
I'm going to go thumb sideways on this. I like the idea of it. The cheapskate in me loves that it's free to play. especially that, you know, as somebody who's not, you know, really a gamer. You know, it's like, okay, well, if with it being free to play, maybe that would get me to try it. But you're absolutely right, Lydia. If it's free to, nothing is free. Mm-hmm. If it's free to play, I'm going to have to pay $50 if I want Spider-Man or whatever.
Yep.
Tabitha.
With you saying all the characters that are going to be involved in this, all I am picturing is like a Marvel version of Disney's Dreamlight Valley. Like, that's the whole game. I am also going to go thumb sideways for the same reasons as you guys. Like Mitch just said, nothing is free to play. It's either going to be microtransactions, or they're going to develop some kind of like coin that you have to buy, but you can only buy it with like a certain thing, because that's how they work. So like those little statue games that you had to buy the statue to play the game, and if you played, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's going to start snowballing, so the higher you get, the more little coins or whatever you have to buy. So I don't know. I'm not going to play it either way, so.
Tabitha, let's go to the Lin-Manuel Miranda news desk.
Coming to you live from In the Heights, the Lin-Manuel Miranda News Desk.
So there is a new Broadway musical that is being co-produced by Hillary Clinton called Suffs the Musical. And Lin and Hillary Clinton are reportedly stepping together to host a Broadway-themed fundraiser for the release of Suffs the Musical.
I'm sorry. Are you saying sus?
Suffs.
With an F.
So Suffs. Like suffragettes.
Suffragette. Okay. Suffrages. Okay.
Yeah. I was hearing sus as in like suspect.
That would be not on. That I'm would like, not be good PR for Hillary Clinton.
I'm like, why?
That makes sense.
I didn't realize there was an Among Us Broadway musical.
That's co-produced by Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I was ripped.
They're all wearing little pantsuits.
One of them's got an axe sticking out of their head. Like, I was real confused at how Lin-Manuel Miranda, Among Us, and Hillary Clinton all came into the same room. It sounds like a real bad joke.
Did you want to be in the room where it happened?
Not that room. Nope.
That's the whole point.
So the musical that opens next month follows suffragettes, into the years leading up to the passage of the 19th Amendment. The funds of the fundraiser for opening night are being donated to the Biden campaign. I'm giving this a thumbs up. Do what you want with your money. Hillary Clinton has done so many random things in her life. I think adding Broadway producer just makes sense. So thumbs up for you, Hillary.
Matt.
Thumbs up for not the Among Us
Miranda
musical. But now I kind of want one of those.
Lynn, if you're listening.
If anyone could do it.
Right? Did you give your thumb? I'm sorry.
Oh, thumbs up.
Okay. Lydia.
That's always just such a weird sentence to hear.
Did you give your
Is
thumb?
It better than where's your thumb?
I don't know.
Yeah, and what she said. I'm just confused by a good majority of this, but I think thumbs up.
I was ready to give this a thumbs down until I asked for clarification on the name of this musical. now that I know the name of this musical. Still kind of weird that Hillary Clinton is producing it. Mm-hmm. That's not really... I didn't have that on my 2024 bingo card. However, Lin-Manuel Miranda writing a musical about the women's suffrage movement. Yes, injected into my veins right now. This sounds amazing. Tabitha, let's go to the Baby Yoda news desk.
Coming to you live from a galaxy far, far away, the Baby Yoda news desk.
I'm doing so many news desks.
I did that on purpose.
Oh, thank you. So, y'all, we missed Grogu. We knew about Grogu. We done be knowing about Grogu. Since a comic book series called Star Wars Tales ran from 1999 to 2005, they Easter egged us with a baby Yoda.
What?
Yes. There's a whole facility that exists specifically to take care of the Jedi babies, and there's this full page spread, and all these little human babies are chilling, and then there's a baby Yoda in the background.
Huh. Aww.
Now, does this time frame match up to, like, baby Yoda?
I don't know. I am going to be real with you. I didn't read that far. But they Easter egged us with baby Yoda. It was 22 years ago, and Ouch. The comic book story was called Children of the Force. I think from what I understood that I don't know the timeline of Star Wars universe, but that comic book series, I think, takes place after the Clone Wars. So I don't know if that lines up.
Okay.
I'm giving it a thumbs up. I don't know if they like just stuck that character in there 20 years ago and was like, that'll be funny, or if like it was actually the inspiration for something, and I never want to know, but it gives me joy to think it was.
Matt.
I actually kind of remember that series. I think I read one or two issues of it. I randomly found it on the shelf at the comic book shop when I was a kid. Wow. I mean, it honestly fits for Marvel and Disney and Star Wars to throw those Easter eggs. So, thumbs up.
Lydia.
I almost feel like this has to have been something that somebody read at one point and then went, you know what? We're going to turn this into a series. So that's just fun. Thumbs up. Yeah.
I can equal parts see this being not connected at all. And also like, you know, somebody on the creative team remembered reading that comp and be like, hey, we're going to do this. Either way, thumbs up. Way to pull one over on us. Star Wars, Disney, whomever.
I think it was definitely planted there, not for the Mandalorian series, but to have a spinoff like Muppet Babies, but like Star Wars Babies. It was just going to be in that same vein, but they couldn't get Steven Spielberg, so well. Kind of fell off.
It's a good theory.
Alien Books, I think we've talked about this in the past, where Alien Books is going to relaunch the Valiant universe. It's starting next month. Tabitha, what's wrong?
It's Lydia's fault.
Lydia, what's
I didn't
wrong?
Do it! You said in the past, but it's how you said in the bath. And she heard it, and I heard it, and we went.
In the bath?
Uh-huh. In the bath, like in the tub.
Yeah. Aliens in the tub. So, okay, it might have been my fault. It might have made a face.
She went. And I went. We made eye contact.
So we'll just start this over.
No fun.
Starting with a free comic book day offering, the Valiants will launch in May, as well as multiple Road to Resurgence books leading up to the resurgence of the Valiant universe in September. So the resurgence of the Valiant universe, this series will follow Dr. Silk, who, depending on who you ask, is a terrorist or a visionary. Dr. Silk will gain the means to reshape the Valiant universe, leading to lives changing and destinies being rewritten. The Road to Resurgence books will include Faith Returns, Exo Man of War, Eternal Warriors, Last Ride of the Immortals, and more. I'm giving this a thumbs up. Valiant has always been one of those comic lines where I've kind of dipped my toe in, and you know, we've reviewed a number of those books in the past. I am excited for this. A couple of my favorite Valiant characters aren't really represented in this resurgence lead up or whatever. So I am anxious to see if they show back up or what happens there. But either which way, if this leads to a long-standing Valiant universe, I'm here for it. Thumbs up, Tabitha.
You're happy, I'm happy. I remember reading some of the Valiant comics, but I don't remember if I ever got invested in any one specific storyline for my thumb to go either way. So you're happy, I'm happy. Thumbs up.
Matt.
I remember kind of hearing that they were doing this. I feel like they are going about this relaunch in the right way, and not just rebooting like Marvel and DC seem to do. I know that there were other reasons behind this relaunch, but I feel like they're handling it well, and I feel like it's just going to start here and grow, so thumbs up.
Lydia.
Like Tabitha said, you're excited, so I'm excited. I also vaguely remember reading some of this, but not enough to like grip onto anything, but yeah, you're happy, so.
That's all that matters. Matt, let's talk about some sports superstars.
So, Steph Curry, if you didn't know, is already a children's book author. But now he's going to have his own graphic novel. Sports Superheroes Volume 1, Stephen Curry, by Josh Brissell and Rich Carson, illustrated by Damian Scott, will be released by the Penguin Workshop this August. It was the deal was announced in People magazine. I don't know. This is one of those things that I feel like, regardless of kind of what the plot ends up being, Steph Curry is a big enough name in sports and for kids that this would bring kids into reading new and different things. So in that regard, I'm going to go thumbs up.
Lydia.
I have no idea who Steph Curry is, but I guess if you can bring kids that are more inclined to like sports and things into the comic book and like reading like genre, then more power to you. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this a thumbs up. I would rather this be kind of like almost autobiographical or whatever. Those type of comics really interest me, especially like with like famous historical figures. Not that Steph Curry's historical, but he's a famous figure. But on the flip side, if this is like Steph Curry going into space to fight aliens or whatever, I would still kind of be here for that too. So
that's Space Jam.
Well, in Space Jam, the aliens come to us.
Space Jam Reverse?
Maj.
Nope.
No. Tabitha?
Jesus Christ. Like I said about the Beyonce book, if you're using a popular figure to get people to buy a book, especially a child, thumbs up.
Tabitha, we're going to stick with sports and comics and talk about Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I don't know why this is here, but I found it. So I guess
it's here because of you,
that's
Tabitha.
On me. Ronda Rousey had a book recently come out, but evidently she is also planning to release a comic book in the near future. It's just going to be, from what I understand, like her like past and like starting the WWE with like flash forwards to life now and flashbacks to like life then. I don't know how good that's going to be. No offense to Ronda Rousey. I don't think it's anything that any of us would be interested in reading, but it's coming. So I guess if you run into it at the comic book store, pick it up because now I'm kind of curious. Thumbs sideways.
Before we go on, is it like a comic book or is it a graphic novel?
It's a comic book.
So it'd be like an ongoing
series of comic books.
Okay.
From what very little news there is floating around about it, and the website that I was on has changed my ads forever. So
fair enough. Matt.
I know we were just talking about these athletes and stars, you know, drawing kids into reading that may be involved in these things. So in that regard, I have to give it a thumbs up because this may pull kids into the comic book store to read her story, and then who knows where they end up from there. So in that regard, yeah, thumbs up.
Lydia.
I actually know who she is, so that's a plus. Not gonna lie, I am kind of curious to see what this might be, because, you know, I'm all about a woman that can kick some ass, so thumbs up.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, kind of like what Matt said. I mean, like, you know, it's for the same reasons that I gave a Steph Curry comic a thumbs up. Based off of kind of what you said with it being a kind of flashback, flash forward thing, whatever, I would prefer it to be kind of like a, like, not even like a mini series, but just like a, hey, this is definitely going to be this many issues. If it's an ongoing, it's just going to be kind of like, well, what do we talk about now? You know, but for now, thumbs up. So Pop Culture Coffee is a new coffee company that offers organic, ethically sourced coffee with a twist. The initial offerings include two Star Trek flavors, Captain's Choice, a smooth medium roast, and Vulcan Vanilla, as well as two Ghostbusters flavors, Ecto Espresso, a caramel chocolate blend, and Puffed Mellow, a vanilla marshmallow blend. Upcoming releases include more Star Trek and Ghostbusters flavors, as well as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm giving this a thumbs up. Lord knows I can never have too much coffee. Shut up, not Seth. and I'm here for most, if not all, of these flavors that I just talked about. I looked on the website, but I didn't look long enough to look at pricing points. I know, especially with some of these like licensed coffees or whatever, sometimes they can be pretty pricey. But even still, like now or in the next couple months, I can definitely see myself picking up a bag. Tabitha.
I love a gimmick when it comes to coffee. Huge thumbs up.
Matt.
I am with you two on this. Like, these flavors that are based on properties, comic books, movies, whatever, I'm a sucker for them. There's Bones Coffee has some Nightmare Before Christmas flavors. They have a couple of Indiana Jones flavors. I'm a sucker for these. I think these are fun. I enjoy them. They're usually fairly decent flavored, so thumbs up.
Lydia.
Yeah, I'm all for this. Say we love coffee in our house, and adding like geeky themes to them is just all the more better. So absolute thumbs up.
Sticking with, well, it's not food. Sticking with ingestible stuff.
Don't like that.
Edible? Edible stuff? Is I that guess. The word you're looking for? Ingestible.
Well, you don't eat coffee,
but you ingest it.
That's why I said ingestible.
What is your stupid story?
Anyway. So IHOP and Sega are teaming up for some limited time menu items, as well as a chance to win prizes. Through May 5th, members of the IHOP loyalty program can order from the special menu to earn PAM coins to redeem for downloadable content, including full games of Sonic Superstars, Sonic Frontiers, and Sonic Origins Plus. The menu items include Sonic's Blue Blur Special, which is four pancakes with a ton of blueberries. Tails 2x2x2, which two eggs, two pancakes, and two pieces of bacon or sausage. And Dr. Eggman's Benedict. That one's pretty basic, but I love the name. This is unrelated to the promotion, but for a limited time, IHOP is also serving Pepsi Maple Syrup Cola. I'm giving this a thumbs up. I don't ever, or I rarely eat at IHOP, but Sonic will always have a special place in my heart. I like this promotion. I won't go there enough to earn enough pan coins to download a game, but still, I'm here for it. And maybe I'm going to make y'all drink some Pepsi maple syrup. Tabitha.
Oh, so there are a multitude of reasons that I'm giving this a thumb sideways, but the first being the blueberry pancakes sound great, but I can barely order my own food at the best of times. Me trying to say I'll have the blue blur pancakes is not going to come out correctly. And I'm going to end up apologizing and just leaving. Thank you, I'm sorry. Like, or probably knowing me, like, thanks, sorry, I am. And then I just walk out.
You're sorry.
A thumbs up for the marketing gimmick, but I can't eat there.
Matt.
Yeah, I too am a sucker for a gimmick. And I think they did a pretty good job pairing the names and the, like, the meals together. I don't even want to know how many of these meals you have to eat in order to earn enough coins for a free game. But I guess thumbs up overall.
Lydia.
I don't know why, but for some reason, when you said IHOP and Sega, my mind like went to somebody pulling a cartridge out of the Sega that was like covered in syrup. I don't know why. It made me sad. It made me confused. Anyway, this sounds like fun. I'm with you guys, though. I'm not going to eat there enough to like get anything from this, and I would absolutely stumble trying to order any of this. So, yeah.
Tabitha, the note that I have for this one, let's talk about Fuxatani Phil.
Oh, so Fuxatani Phil, I about said it the way you said it, and his wife, whose name is Phyllis, have become parents.
Of course.
Have become parents. The Fuxatani Groundhog Club posted on Facebook on Wednesday.
That they have little fillets?
Yes, they have two little babies. They have not given their genders or their names. I think they're waiting to make sure they thrive before they name them, so the whole nation isn't like, oh my god, like the time they brought the turkey to the White House. Like, and they don't want to redo that. But we are pleased to announce that Fuxatani Phil has had his first children. We believe that there are two baby groundhogs and that Phil and Phyllis have finally started a family. Phil and Phyllis could not be more excited. So, I guess Fuxatani Phil has not been the same Fuxatani Phil the whole time. But we now know they just have their own and they keep regenerating the same babies. So I guess one of them will thrive and they will be the new Fuxatani Phil.
It's like the doctor.
Yeah. Of groundhogs. Well,
Where's your thumb?
Oh, my thumb is up. It's a cute little groundhog.
And it's groundhogs doing it. Matt.
I don't know. I didn't know he was... I don't have any rat in this race, but I didn't know that he was in a relationship. I always just thought
did you think you had a chance, Matt?
No. Like, he's way too popular. I mean good for him, thumbs up.
Lydia.
Groundhog babies, you know, just little furry babies, thumbs up. Little fillets.
Yeah, thumbs up. Good on you, Phil and Phyllis. You did kind of break my brain, because, like, now I am thinking, like, what is the average lifespan of a groundhog?
Hold, please.
Madam Secretary.
But yeah, like, yeah, I guess it has been Pakistani Phil, like, our whole lives, and it's probably not been the same one.
No. They've just been replacing them.
Just like, never mind.
In the wild, they live up to 6 years. In captivity, they live up to 14 years.
Oh!
Oh. But still.
So
there's been at least three Fuxatani Phils since we've been alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably more than that.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
You got it wrong this year.
Oh, no. I was just picturing them having severe shoulder pain from being lifted out of their little hovel. Like, oh god.
So, to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the original Goat Simulator game, developers have announced an update to celebrate giving players the opportunity to put birthday cake headgear on their characters and play as classic Goat Simulator NPCs. If you're like me and you're uncultured and don't know that Goat Simulator is a thing, Goat Simulator 3 allows players to perform stunts and wreak havoc on an urban environment as, you guessed it, a goat. The goat can also hitch itself to items and objects in the game by licking them. Giving this a thumbs up, I did not know that this game was a thing, let alone it being 10 years old. I'm here for this game. It's almost too open world from what I'm reading. Almost too open world for me, but I would at least play it for like 10 minutes and be very thrilled. Tabitha.
So you just run it around as a goat, like eating weird stuff and grass and grazing? Yeah. Okay, that sounds relaxing. Thumbs up.
Matt.
I feel weird knowing that I knew that this was a thing previously. But I didn't know it was still around and it was celebrating an anniversary. So congrats for sticking around, but thumbs down. Why? I don't know. We don't need to celebrate.
Lydia.
I didn't know this was a thing. I did not know it was 10 years old and it is not calm by any means, Tabitha.
Never mind.
Yeah. Like, you can like fling this goat through the air like via trampoline and things like that. Oh, like, it is chaos incarnate, and it's one of the reasons it's wonderful. So I'm happy. I'm sad that it's 10 years old, but I'm happy that they're celebrating. So a thumbs up.
This is something I rarely get to say, Matt. You have our last story of the night.
Wow.
Yeah, let's talk about getting a real life Megan doll.
No.
Yep. So originally, this was thought to be an April Fool's joke, but it is not. NECA, in partnership with Blumhouse Productions, has announced the release of a life-sized replica of the Megan doll.
Nope.
Don't
from
like
the
that.
Film. So it is priced at $494.99. It is meticulously crafted and stands 55 inches tall. The doll has articulated inner armature that allows a range of poses, movable eyes, and synthetic hair that matches samples used on the set of the movie. No word on how many people pre-ordered or if they are sold out yet. But if you decided you wanted your own life-size Megan doll, then that's the thing that you can go on the NECA store and reserve yours now for $500.
Okay, so NECA, the toy company,
mm-hmm.
the toys that they produce are incredible, and like the paint, like I can't imagine what they can do with a life-size figure, so that's just going to be impressive either way.
I mean, you want to see the pictures?
No. but I also feel like people only buy this for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. As someone who, like, is probably at least a little messed up thanks to Child's Play, I have not seen Megan. But still, like, looking at some of these prototypes, I'm not okay with this, and like 100% this doll is going to come to life and murder me. Worst use of $500 ever, not even including shipping, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably not.
See, I don't like dolls in general, and I have childhood trauma from an electronic doll, so I'm good, thanks. I will keep my $500 and my life.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've talked about some things the last few minutes that will probably give us all nightmares. So
thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't know. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Geek Awakens. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, shoot us an email at thegeekawakenspodcast@gmail.com.
It would be a shame if you didn't follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Geek Awakens Podcast or on Twitter at Geek Awakens.
Theme music created and produced by E. Cannon Beats.
Our logo was designed by Shay McCain.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. We're boldly gone.